If you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 25 this evening, we are going to continue to cover some characteristics of the Christian life. And as we on Wednesday nights have kind of taken a tone of growing and building the Christian life. And, it's a joy to have a Christian life to live. Amen. Through salvation in Jesus Christ. A lot of times people try to link them together to the point where if you don't live the right kind of Christian life, you don't have salvation. And that's not true. But you obviously cannot live a Christian life without salvation, if you understand it that way. So if you have found your place in Psalm 25, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God this evening, if you are physically able. Psalm 25, and I'm going to read to you these verses here, and we're going to look at another characteristic. You just follow along, and I'll read to you tonight out of Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So once again, we are looking at a different characteristic. And if you'll take a look at Psalm 25 and verse 9, right kind of in the middle there, the Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. So just tonight, an idea of this thing of meekness. And we have talked about being meek before, and you've heard the cliche perhaps in the past, and I know I've mentioned it, but meekness is not weakness. All right? Not at all. A lot of times people think of someone who is meek as someone who is a pushover. And that's not necessarily the case. Being meek is just, in a practical sense, strength under control. All right, that's what meekness kind of is. But by definition, it's mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance, even under injuries. So, in other words, it's a gentleness, a softness, as far as not, again, not being a pushover, But mild of temper, not easily provoked or irritated, and is often willing to forbear things instead of be the aggressor. Okay? So that's kind of what meekness is in that sense on a physical level. On a spiritual level, and if you will, it's one of being humble or submissive to the divine will, not proud or self-sufficient. Okay? So these are the kind of things we're going to take note of. And even in this passage of Scripture in Psalm 25, we see these things kind of highlighted as David goes through and he's talking to God. And kind of right in the middle there, the Bible tells us that the meek will be guided in judgment. And the meek will be taught the way of God. You understand that God wants to work with us, but we've got to choose to work with Him. That's where that submissiveness comes in. That's where that humility comes in. That's where that not being provoked or irritated. Because listen, brother and sister in Christ, when we're talking about the cultivation process, you could become irritated at that and rebel and not respond to what the master, to what the dresser of the vineyard is trying to do to you. You're like, hey, ow, that hurts. Don't poke me. I'm going to poke you back. You know, that's not meek. All right? And so as the Lord works with us and guides us into judgment and teaches us, He wants to work with one who is meek, who is not easily provoked, not easily irritated, who is yielding, who is humble, who is not proud, who is not self-sufficient, who is submissive to the divine will of God. That's meekness. God wants to teach us meekness. Oftentimes, God will put things in our lives to provoke us to meekness, to move us toward being meek. In Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You notice all those things? Those are all things that God teaches. That God wants to pass on from him to others. And we keep reading and it says, and shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. We know, of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ. You know, in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And Jesus said that he is meek and lowly. The Bible says that that was told of him. So God teaches the meek. He wants to work with those who are meek. He's going to give his wisdom and his understanding, his spirit of counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. We know that these things are all elements of growth and education in the Christian life. To whom do they come? The proud? No. The aggressive? The ones that want to do everything their own way? No. To whom? To the meek. To those who are mild of temper. To those who are yielding. To those who are not easily provoked. To those who are humble. To those who are submissive to the divine will. To those who are not self-sufficient. You know what I've learned about myself? I can't do everything. and I shouldn't do everything. I need to trust in the Lord and in the power of His might. I need to wait on the Lord and for His path and His way. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. Just a few chapters to the right there. We're talking about meekness. Some of us are maybe a little more adept to this type of quality. And for some others, it may be a little more difficult to attain. But it is profitable. See Isaiah 61 there. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be, ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Well, who is Isaiah talking to here? The meek. Wanting to teach them. Wanting to work with them. Wanting to accomplish the work of God through them. And he tells them to seek the Lord. To seek righteousness. To seek meekness. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how many times you've read through Isaiah in the past, hopefully at least once last year. Did you notice that? That the Bible tells us to seek meekness. We need to look for it. We need to go after it. Because that's who God wants to work with. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus speaking says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus Christ is our example. We're supposed to follow His example. If the Lord is meek, we should be meek. We should seek meekness, as the Bible tells us in Isaiah. In Romans chapter 12, you know this passage very well. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So far we have an example here of submitting to God's will. Of humbling ourselves before a holy God. Giving ourselves over
to his work.
And then he continues and says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." There's that humility again. "For as we have many, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." These things are part of being meek and living that kind of life submitted to God. In James chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "For who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." You know, as we grow in our lives as believers, God does want to work with us. We need to begin to display some of these characteristics of meekness, and God will work with us. I used to say, as a Christian school principal, when I worked in that field, if you will, I'm willing to work with anybody, no matter how difficult, under one condition, as long as they're willing to work with me. If they stop wanting to work with me, I can't do anything. It'd be like walking over to outside this door here and just ramming my head into the brick wall. I mean, why would I want to do that? That doesn't make any sense, right? Y'all really think I'm crazy then, wouldn't you? Because guess what? That wall's not moving. It doesn't want to move. And I'm not going to move it with my head. Now, if I get a sledgehammer, I might do some work on it. But I'm just saying, that's not how it works. So why would God work with you if you always have your own way, your own ideas, your own desires? You're not humble. You're not submitted to God. You're not willing to do things His way and wanting to do things His way. I'll just go back to the scripture and what it says in Psalm 25. "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." Have you had a hard time growing in the Lord? Maybe some meekness is required. So the meek will be taught. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37. Just a few chapters from where we started in Psalm 25. Psalm 37. This passage is quoted by the Lord in Matthew chapter 5, which we will read in just a few moments. In Psalm 37, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be.
So
far, what do we have a picture of here? We have the picture of meekness. Someone who is meek is going to do these things as is requested by the psalmist. To trust in the Lord, to fret not thyself because of evildoers, and to delight thyself in the Lord, and commit thy way unto Him, and trust also in Him, and your righteousness shall be brought forth as the light, and the judgment is the noonday, and resting in the Lord, and waiting patiently for Him, and not fretting because of these other things that are outside sources of despair. That's someone who is meek. All of those things. So then he says this. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now over in Matthew chapter 5. You know the beginning of the Beatitudes as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 2 it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, just a little side note about my hatred of the English language. I have no idea why it's blessed there and then blessed other places. So, no idea. That's just the English thing. All right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So in my opinion, all of these things here have to do with meekness in some way, shape, or form. And what do they all say? Blessed. Blessed. Or blessed, right? Either way. But can I tell you something? The meek will be blessed. You want blessings in your life? Learn to be meek. Learn to be humble. Learn to be not easily provoked. Learn to be tender, a mild temper, gentle, yielding, given to forbearance, submissive to the divine will of God, not proud or self-sufficient. And you will be blessed. You say, how do you know? Well, those were Jesus' words. He said it. That's good enough for me. Not good enough for you? It works. God is faithful. God is true. God keeps His promises. In Psalm 22, David says, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath He hid His face from him. But when he cried unto Him, He heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. In Psalm 34, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You know what I call that? Blessings. Blessed. Because even in times of trouble and affliction, if I'm meek and righteous and fear God and do those things, He will deliver me out of all of those afflictions. You say, but I'm in some of those afflictions and God's not hearing me. Well, two things. Maybe you just need to be patient. and you're doing just fine. Or maybe you need some meekness in your life. Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Then in Isaiah 57, the Bible says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So the meek will be taught. The meek will be blessed. And take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. See, that's an odd place to go for a study on meekness. Well, in Numbers chapter 12 is an interesting circumstance. You know that as the children of Israel are moving out of Egypt, God chose Moses to work with them, right? And along with him, his brother Aaron, to be the mouthpiece in way such a form, because Moses said, hey, I can't do this. And he said, all right, I'm going to have your brother Aaron help you out. And then they had a sister named Miriam. And here in chapter 12, we had a little sibling rivalry going on here. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So there's a little jealousy here from Aaron and Miriam Moses. Was the leader, the God-chosen leader of the people. You say, well, but maybe Pastor Combs, Moses was getting a little big for his britches. And maybe he was getting a little proud and arrogant and his dealings. And maybe he was mistreating his brother and sister and kind of lording over them and putting them down and taking advantage of his circumstance. So would that not be a logical conclusion that one might come to just with reading these two verses here? Perhaps, if that's all you read, right? Well, maybe they've got a case, Miriam and Aaron. Well, then there's verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Okay, not just the children of Israel, folks. Not just the 3 million complaining people he was trying to lead. You understand? Just kind of like Job, right? Where God told about Job and that he was a perfect an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Moses was made reference to here by the Lord, saying that the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Wow. So guess what? Verses 1 and 2 are an indictment against Aaron and Miriam. It bears out in the story. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. All right, now we're not just talking through Moses here. I'm going to let all three of y'all know what's going on. That's good Southern speak, by the way. And the Lord spake suddenly, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words." So if you don't think God's got a sense of humor and God doesn't get a little testy sometimes, here it is. This is pretty sharp. He says, "Hear now my words." Because what did they say before? "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Okay, can you just imagine the tone this brother and sister has with their brother? Okay, you say, "How do you know all this?" Well, not only do I have 11 children, but I was also one of three children that did these things to each other as brothers and sisters. So anyways, he said, "Hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So he gives them the what for. But basically what I want to bring to light is simply this. The meek themselves are not going to lift themselves up. But God will. God will. They won't have to toot their own horn because God's going to play the whole orchestra about them. Because that's what God does. Two people came against his chosen servant, one who was meek above all that were upon the face of the earth. And he said, "Now, you see here, this is my man. This is my leader. And I will lift him up and exalt him. Don't you mess around with him." Now, you can read the rest of the story and what happens there, but you understand that God is going to do the exalting. And one who is meek is not going to exalt themselves. God will lift up the meek. In Isaiah 29, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." You understand? When we in our pride lift ourselves up, God will put us in our place. And when we in our meekness humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He shall lift us up. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible speaks of this as unto ladies, but may I say to you that all believers can learn from this application. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Now look at this. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. It says it all right there. I don't have time tonight to talk to you about Mark chapter 10. We've talked about this before. But how the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and said, "Hey, can you do something for us?" And he began to teach them a lesson. They want to sit at the right hand of God. And he said, "Guys, that's not what it's all about. It's about being the servant of all." You understand, as we kind of look at these things and we understand this, that to serve God is the greatest thing that we can do. Humbling ourselves in His sight. And if He wants to exalt us, so be it. And if we go through our whole lives the unsung hero, so be it. Because it's His work. It's His business. It's His will. And that's how we will be successful as a servant of God in meekness. So tonight, just some things to remember. Meekness taught. The meek will He guide in judgment. And the meek will He teach His way. The meek will be blessed. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And the meek will be lifted up. When we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. He will exalt us. He's the one that will care for us in that fashion, if we will learn to be of a meek spirit. It's an ornament, folks, and one that God esteems of a great value and a great price.